ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ यू आर जस्ट स्टार्टिंग अवर क्लास आफ्टर दिस जुपिटर्स ट्रांजिशन सो इट इज डू सम मंत्र जप देन विल गो विल जस्ट स्टार्ट अवर क्लास ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं मयि सूर्यो व्राजो दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्पादश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमतो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो वी हैव बीन सीइंग केन उपनिषत् दि फर्स्ट मंत्र बिगिन्स विद अ क्वेश्चन बाय अ स्टूडेंट And the question reveals the student's knowledge of something being distinct and different from this material body, mind, sense complex. But he wants to know what that spiritual effulgent being is, because of which alone this inert Sukshma Shariram, all the aspects of Sukshma Shariram function. He does not talk about the physical body at all in the first question. He knows the physical body is active and alive because of the presence of Sukshma Shariram. And that Sukshma Shariram also, even though it is invisible, it is subtle, it indwells the physical body, still the Sukshma Shariram also is a material product, therefore it must be inert, and that inert Sukshma Shariram, every aspect of Sukshma Shariram, mind, sense organs, pranas, all of them, how do they function? That means, what is that spiritual principle because of the presence of which they become activated. Because they cannot act by themselves. They don't function by themselves. So they become conscious, they become sentient, and they function because of the activation, because of the direction, because of the very mere presence of some other conscious being, something else. And what is that conscious being, conscious principle behind this sense powers, behind this sasukshma? This is the question. And thereafter, the teacher, the second mantra is also an important, every mantra is very important here anyway. The second mantra presents the indirect answer of the teacher. The teacher gives an indirect answer in his second, as his answer in the second mantra. What is the indirect answer he gives? Shrotrasya Shrotram. That conscious principle, the Devaha, inquired by the student, behind the sense powers, behind the pranas, behind the mind is, what now? The eye of the eye, ear of the ear, mind of the mind. Like that he gives an answer. That answer is not a direct answer, but it's an indirect answer. Because it doesn't convey, still the student doesn't understand. And the Bhashyam itself, we understood why the teacher cannot give a direct answer for that question also. We have seen that. Why he cannot give a direct answer? Because it is not an object enjoying distinctive features such as jatihi, gunaha, karma, the kriya, rudihi, sambandaha, etc. Therefore, they do not have any individual. What is to be understood happens to be Brahman, the Atma, which is of the nature of attributelessness, indescribable, the describable attributes being not there, it cannot be directly defined using any words. Or he gives a direct, indirect answer. But through the direct answer, what the teacher drives home the student is, it is the pure consciousness employed by the eye of the eye, ear of the ear. It is, what is that? The pure consciousness is Atma, the reality, because of mere presence of which all the subtle aspects function. That answer is arrived at by his second, the teacher's answer to the question. And thereafter, the third mantra again, third mantra also, that consciousness which is the Atma, because of whose mere presence all the subtle aspects function, that Atma is, that consciousness is not an object, but it is the very subject of knowledge. The first mantra has the question. Second mantra says it is consciousness because of the presence of which all these, this chaitanyam, because of the presence of which all these subtle aspects function. The third mantra also we have seen, we saw last class. The third mantra presents the answer. That consciousness which because of presence of, because whose presence all the subtle aspects function, that consciousness is not an object of knowledge. Not an object of knowledge. Therefore, it is not describable. This cannot be described by the word. Why a word cannot describe it? It is indescribable because it is not an object, and that object is also what notes, not available for sense perception or thought perception. A word can define something which is perceivable through either the senses or the thought. So, manasa agocharam, indriya agocharam, isn't it? So it is not available for thought perception, nor is it available for sense perception. Therefore, it cannot be described by a word also. A word can always describe something if it is available for thought perception and sense perception. A word can describe something if it has attributes. A thing can have attributes only if it is available for perception also. Therefore, because three reasons, this it is said, tatra chakshur na gacchati, vak na gacchati, then he says what? Mana manaha gacchati. Mind cannot reach the consciousness. Why mind cannot reach the consciousness means what? A wave can never reach the water. Similarly, mind cannot reach consciousness because consciousness is not an object of thought. A mind can reach something which if it is an object of thought. And then an object of perception, sense perception. Senses cannot reach because consciousness is not an object perceivable through the senses. And because mind and thought cannot reach, means consciousness is not objectifiable, not available for objectification through the mind and the senses, a word also cannot reach. A word cannot reach means what? Word cannot describe consciousness. Always for any description we use only words. Description of anything is dependent on shabda, words. And word has the capacity, word can have the capacity to describe anything if an object fulfills certain conditions. What those conditions are, we have seen earlier. Jatihi, gunaha, kriya, rudihi, sabbandaha. The features. We are going to see, next class, we are going to see each feature separately. What each feature is, we are going to see next class. But now you can understand. Therefore, a word also cannot what now? This consciousness is of the nature of attributelessness. It is no attribute, distinctive attributes such as jatihi, gunaha, kriya, etc. Therefore, word cannot describe, and above all, it's an object of knowledge also. Therefore, if it is not an object of knowledge at all, then what this consciousness could be? It is only a subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is what? It cannot be the known. Therefore, subject of knowledge is what? Only knower. And that knower is what? Knower is consciousness. Knower is consciousness. This is arrived at where? So, consciousness, it is consciousness because of the presence of which this sukshma shariram functions. The direct one answer. And that consciousness is not an object of knowledge, but it is a subject of knowledge. The subject of knowledge is what now? You are the subject of knowledge. You are the knower. With reference to any object, you are the knower, and knower is consciousness, therefore you are consciousness. This is revealed in which mantra? Third mantra. Okay? I think hope you understand. Question, answer consciousness, and that consciousness is what now? You are that consciousness, is revealed in the third mantra. So we have to see the third mantra little again before we go to the fourth mantra. You have finished doing the Bhashyam, but still we have to see little elaboration of it. And in his Bhashyam, Shankara gives the example of Agnihi. Agnihi dahakaha prakashakaha cha api sanna na hi atmanam prakashayati dahativa. Here, why do the sense organs not reveal consciousness, the atma? Why does the mind not reveal the consciousness, the atma? Isn't it? That means it's not object of knowledge, means mind reveals, senses reveal, but mind which knows everything, which is capable of thinking about any other object, is incapable of thinking, it's thinking the Atma, it's a Swarupam. What is Atma? I had to understand, Atma is the Swarupam of the mind. Atma, the consciousness, is the Swarupam of every sense organ. Atma Swarupam or Atma, the consciousness, is the Swarupam of this every sense organ, Swarupam of the mind. Is it Swarupam of an individual, Swarupam of every being, Swarupam of everything. You're going to understand the meaning of the word Swarupam very clearly here. So consciousness, the Atma, is the Swarupam of everything. Swarupam of every object of knowledge. Swarupam of the every sense organ, sense power. Swarupam of every power of organ of knowledge. Powers of organs of knowledge. Swarupam of the very mind. Therefore we say, the mind, what does the mind do? Mind is capable of revealing subtle aspects. Mind can know about, think about, mind can visualize, mind can know, mind can think about objects of objects available for perception, but mind cannot think of its own swarupam. Mind cannot cognize its own swarupam. Mind cannot think of its swarupam or visualize its swarupam. Similarly, sense powers are capable of revealing their respective objects, but each sense power cannot reveal its own swarupam. Its own swarupam. That is why this consciousness is not the object of sense perception or thought perception, means not available for objectification, means what does it mean? Each sense power is incapable of revealing its own sense power, swarupam. Like what? Like the fire. So what is the light said to be? Dahakaha, prakashakaha. Dahakaha means what? The one who burns. Dahati sarvamiti dahakaha. And prakashakaha, one who illumines everything, is called what? Prakashakaha, illuminator. So the fire is capable of burning many things, and it can also illumine many things. But the fire cannot burn itself. The fire cannot illumine itself. It cannot reveal itself. And here, fire cannot illumine itself. Fire cannot burn itself. When you say that illumination, what do we do? Illumination is what? Is an action or swarupam. Their burning is an action or swarupam. We have to understand the difference here. Then we should not even use the verb there. The fire, suppose if we say the fire illumines itself. Because now we say fire does not illumine itself. Suppose we say fire illumines itself or the fire burns itself. Then what happens? The word illumines and the word burns, the two, what now? They are verbs. The verb always implies an action. And burning becomes an action. And then what happens? The illumination becomes an action. When if you use the verb, it indicates only action. So action means, action has beginning. Action has beginning, therefore it's a time and date when it begins. Any action begins. If it has a beginning, it has an end also. Therefore there's a time when the action ends. Therefore action is time bound. If we say it illumines itself, if we say it does not illumine itself, even if we say fire does not illumine itself, fire does not burn itself, if we say there the word burn and this illumine, these two words are verbs, therefore the verbs indicate an action. Any action has a time when it is begun, the time when it ends also, therefore action is time bound. Action is anityam, time bound. Once you say it is action, it is time bound. Once it is time bound, then before the fire, suppose before it starts burning, or before it starts illumining, what was there then? Then we have to say that there was no illumination. Therefore, this it will go. Then you have to say that means that was there that there was a dark fire was there or what? Bright fire, isn't it? Was there a dark fire? Then we have to say there's no such thing called dark fire. Fire means only brightness. Therefore, what we should understand that illumination here or the illumination and the part of the fire is not an action. It is the swarupam. When you say it is the swarupam, what is the difference between action and swarupam? Action is anityam, swarupam is nityam. Swarupam is eternal because there is no such thing called eternal, timeless, permanent, everlasting action. Action is always time bound. Therefore, what now? Swarupam is nityam, eternal, everlasting. But karma, action is time bound. Nityam, anityam. Isn't it? Therefore, we understand this even though we say, for want of word, we use this word, fire does not illumine itself. There, the word illumination, she is not what? No. Not the karma, nityam karma, this nitya swarupam. Is it clear now? Therefore, what does it mean here? Illumination is the swarupam. Illumination is swarupam. Something very subtle I am trying to make you understand. Therefore, when we say, now come to the example, come to this actual lesson. Eyes do not reveal themselves. Eye does not reveal itself. It's swarupam. Okay, therefore what now? Illumination is the very swarupam of the eye. Illumination is the swarupam of what now? Revealing is the very swarupam of the ear. Revealing is the very swarupam of the nose. Illumination is the very swarupam of the tongue. Illumination is the very swarupam of the taste and touch, all the sense powers. And illumination is what actually? This swarupam. Consciousness and illumination are not two different things. Okay? Consciousness is of the nature of like what? Illumination and light are not two different things. Illumination is, when you say, hey, look at this. Illumination is, how do you say illumination is? All the opaque objects shine, illumined. How do you say opaque objects are illumined? They all shine. Opaque objects are shining. Therefore, what? Shining. Because objects are illumined. Objects are illumined because there is illumination. Illumination and the light, are they two different things? Are they two different things? Your illumination is the swarupam of the light. We say of the light. When we say of the light, we immediately think of possessor-possessed connection. There is no possessor-possessed connection between light and illumination. It's just, this is how the light is. Hope you got it. Something very profound and very beautiful. And therefore, there is no illuminator other than the light and the illumination. Illumination, from the standpoint of the illumination, illuminator is what now? Just the illuminator. There is no illuminator other than the light. Illuminator, look at this, light, illuminator and illumination resolve all the three in one as light. Light, we just give the name to the light, isn't it? Which is of the nature of illumination, illumining, as what now? Illuminator. From the standpoint of the illumined objects. In the standpoint of the illumined objects, just the name is given as what? Illuminator is light. Are there three different things? Illumination, light and the illuminator, are they different things? Okay? There is light and the illumined. That's all. Is it clear? Therefore, light is the swarupam of every illumined. Is it clear? Here, therefore, eyes, when you say swarupam of the eyes is what? Swarupam of the eyes is consciousness, the Atma. Swarupam of the ears is consciousness, the Atma. Swarupam of every sense power, swarupam of every power of organ of action is what? Consciousness, the Atma. Swarupam of the mind is what? The Atma. Consciousness, the Atma. Therefore, what now? Every organ of knowledge is incapable of revealing its swarupam. Means swarupam, because swarupam, illumination is the very swarupam. You have to understand this again. Every sense power is incapable of revealing the Atma, means revealing is the very swarupam. Revealing is the very swarupam. Not karma, not an action. But what is the swarupam of? You had to say, what is consciousness? The consciousness is the very swarupam of everything, every sense power, every power of organ of action, every thought, every mind, entire mind. We're going step by step, okay? We are going to analyze it on consciousness, that's a different thing. Therefore, that consciousness is, who know, not an object of knowledge. This is swarupam of every object. Swarupam of every sense power. Swarupam of every power of organ of action. Swarupam of the mind. That consciousness is, who know, not available as an object. If it is not available as an object, what is that consciousness? That consciousness is the very subject of knowledge. What is subject of knowledge? Knower. And who is the knower with reference to every individual? Knower is what? I. Isn't it? I am the knower. Therefore, you are that consciousness. Okay? This is the lesson you get from the third mantra. Now go to the fourth mantra. What is the fourth mantra? Fourth mantra, again the teacher presents a beautiful, ingenious Mahavakyam as a Mahavakyam, and through which he again gives an indirect definition of this consciousness, the Atma, the consciousness. Teacher gives an indirect, again indirect definition of Atma. An important mantra in Keno Upanishad. The teacher gives indirect, again an indirect answer, definition of the Atma. And which is a Mahavakyam. So what has been made clear in the third mantra is defined again through the this and a second indirect definition is made very clear, isn't it? Made much clearer. And in the third mantra itself, the teacher says, we do not know how to teach this Atma. Not that the teacher is incapable of teaching, he only says, I cannot define the Atma, isn't it, directly, because it is not an object, one reason. And second thing, we do not know the Atma when the teacher says, he does, as a teacher, he cannot tell a lie. How can he say, I do not know Atma? When he plays the role of a teacher, he should know. But if he says, I know the Atma, then also he makes the Atma an object. If he says, I do not know, then he tells a lie. Therefore, to remove this, you should understand, no, the teacher does not tell a lie. What he says is the truth. When he says, I do not know the Atma, he means Atma. He does not know the Atma as an object. Because just to drive home what is actually implied by the term Swarupam. Hope you got it. Okay, we'll read the mantra now. Anya devatade viditat atho aviditat adhi. Anya devatade viditat atho aviditat adhi. Iti shushruma purvesham ye nastad vyacha chakshire anyat yeva tad viditat athah aviditat adhi iti shushruma purvesham ye naha tad vyacha chakshire. Okay. In this fourth mantra, the first half of the mantra, the first line of the mantra is another indirect definition of Atma, the consciousness, the Swarupam, which is a Mahavakyam. And he says, Anyat, Anyat. Anyat means what? Other. Other means what here? Anyati yeva. Definitely, anyati yeva. it is definitely, it is something different. Anyatyeva. What is Anyatyeva? Tad. That consciousness, the conscious principle, the consciousness, the Atma, because of the mere presence of which the Sukshma functions, which is the very Swarupam of the mind, every aspect of Sukshma Shariram. That consciousness, the Swarupam of every aspect of Sukshma Shariram, that consciousness is different. Anyat, definitely different. Eva. That's why the Tad is what? No, Tad is Tad Chaitanyam. Tad, that consciousness, Tad Anyat Eva. That consciousness is completely what? No, different. Different from what? That means it is distinct. Vilakshanam. Vilakshanam means what? Distinct. Distinct from what? Viditat athaha aviditat. Viditat aviditat anyat. Viditat aviditat anyat. It's very important mantra. It better point to memorize also. Viditat aviditat anyat eva tad. Tad Chaitanyam, that consciousness, what is that consciousness? The Swarupam of every sense power, Swarupam of the power of every organ of action, Swarupam of the mind, therefore Swarupam of the everything, whose Swarupam, illumination, it sees the very Swarupam, knowing is the very Swarupam, that consciousness is what now? Different. Vilakshanam, distinct from viditat, aviditat, vilakshanam tad. It is distinct from viditam. Vidita is a past passive participle of vidhatuhu. Known. Vid means to know. The verb is veti. Vidita is known. Therefore, avidita is also what? Unknown. It is distinct from the known and the unknown. It is neither the known nor the unknown. Viditat, aviditat, anyat eva tad. That means how the teacher brings it here now. Look at this. Anything knowable, anything which can be known is what now? Knowable. Anything which can be known is knowable. The knowable always comes under the category of known or the unknown. A knowable can come under the category of known objects or unknown objects. Known things or unknown things. How can we say that knowable can come under the category of the known things or the unknown things? Before knowledge, knowable is unknown. It comes under the category of the unknown. After knowing, after knowledge, the knowable comes under the category of known things. Therefore, knowable comes under the category of known or the unknown. Now we can, therefore we can reverse now, we can put it reverse, okay, and can say the known or the unknown, or known and the unknown, we can say, can be said to be knowable. Known and the unknown can be said to be knowable. And we have to say, known and the unknown are always what now? Object. Known and the unknown are the object. Next step, isn't it? Known and the unknown are the objects. Known and the unknown always comes under the category of the objects. Therefore, anything knowable comes under the category of objects. Now, anything other than the knowable, isn't it? Anything other than the knowable is what? Unknowable. Anything other than the knowable is unknowable. Anything other than unknowable, anything other than knowable cannot come under the category of the object. Therefore, anything other than knowable is unknowable. So, unknowable, anything knowable alone can come under the category of object. Anything other than unknowable, the unknowable, cannot come under the category of an object, but can come under the category of anything other than the object. An unknowable can come under the category of anything other than the object. Anything other than the object is subject. Therefore, here, viditam is equal to what? Object. Avitam is object. Therefore, what is left here now? Subject. Subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is what now? Knower. Who is the knower? You are the knower. Therefore, what is the conscious? Tad. That consciousness is you. You are the consciousness. In fact, tat tvam asi. Simple Mahavakyam in other Upanishad. Okay. So beautiful, isn't it? How to say that? Therefore, that is aviditat, anyatyeva tad. Therefore, viditat, aviditat, anyadevatad, isn't it? Therefore, that is you. Tattvamasi is given here in this mantra. Okay? This mantra, first line of this third mantra, fourth mantra, all is what now? It's a Mahavakyam. Tad stands for what? Isn't it? And here, viditata, aviditata, anyati is what? You. You are different from, but now you are the one. This is where actually even the subject-object analysis also is based on this. The first drip, drishe, veka, prakriya itself, you have to get it from here. This mantra contributes for the prakriya. Now people just directly go to the prakriya, isn't it? The drik drishya viveka prakriya, the subject-object analysis is based on this mantra. So viditam, aviditam, known and unknown. What is there other than the known and unknown is only you. What is distinct is the knower. And the knower is, and you are the knower. And that knower is, there's no knower other than consciousness. You resolve the knower in consciousness. Just say consciousness, which is the Atma, the Self. Therefore, here, The resolving again is a cognitive resolution. It's a cognitively, nowhere has to be resolved. Cognitively, before I go, it's not introduction, okay. Cognitively, the knowing has to be resolved. There's no such thing called physical resolution of anything here. Resolution at all. It is like, you have to use the same example here. From the example, we go again to this. We are still in the first line. Therefore, here, when you say opaque vastu, an opaque object, opaqueness is its nature. Being opaque is the nature of the object, that it cannot shine by itself. When it does not shine by itself, in the absence of light, the opaque object, you can say opaque object is, you cannot account for the presence of the opaque object. You don't need to account for it because it is as good as non-existent. You know, opaque object is, you don't need to talk about it because you cannot talk about it because it is unknown completely, isn't it? So it is as good as non-existent. So the opaque object has a status of being existent, astitvam api. The existence itself, when does it have the status of being existent? Only when it shines. Therefore, the shining is what now? Because the shining, it has the status of being existent. And it shines because it reflects light. It is capable of reflecting light because the presence of light. Because it is illumined, isn't it? It shines because it reflects light because it is illumined. It is illumined when you say, illumined object when you say, and it implies what? There is illumination. Without being illumined, the opaque will be completely non-existent. And being illumined is being existent. Please understand. Being illumined is being existent. And being illumined, because of what? Because of illumination. There is illumination. There is illumination, therefore existence of illumination is the existence of the, what now? Existence of the illumined. And the illumination is the what? Illumination is the existence of the illuminator is the existence of the illumination. Without the illuminator, there cannot be illumination. And the existence of illuminator is the illumination. The existence of the light is the existence of the illuminator. Because if there is no light, illuminator and the illumination will disappear simultaneously. The swarupam of the illuminator is what? Illumination. They are two different things. Illumination and the illuminator. It is not an action, it is the very swarupam. If the illuminator goes, illumination will disappear simultaneously. When the light goes, illuminator and the illumination will go simultaneously. Therefore, you can resolve what? There is no illuminator other than the light. There is no illumination other than the light. Illuminator and the illumination are the light. How do you arrive at the light? In terms of its swarupam. What is the swarupam? Natu karma, natu anityam karma, but nitya swarupam. Nitya means swarupam. Illumination is what? Nitya swarupam, not anityam karma. But of the light we say. Of the light when we say, it is no possessor possessed sambandha. Computer is of, isn't it? Somebody, belongs to somebody. There's a possessor-possessed connection, separability is there. But even though we use the word, illumination and the illuminator are none other than the light. You have resolved the illuminator in light, you have resolved the illumination in the light, cognitively, intellectually. Therefore, you arrived at what? Light. Tadu, that is equal to light. Okay? Prakashitat, aprakashitat, anyati eva. We will take this, okay? Prakashitam means what? Illumined. Aprakashitam means what? Unillumined. You know, not aprakashitam actually. Prakashitam, sorry. Yes. No. Correct. Aprakashitam, correct. Because you have the past tense, we have to do that. Prakashitam. But negative things are prakashitam. So, prakashitam. Say, prakashita vastu, aprakashita vastu. Prakashitam means illumined. Aprakashitam means unillumined. Prakashitat, aprakashitat, distinct, anyadeva tadu. What is tadu here? Light. What you all want to know what the light is. Because light also shines, everything shines. The problem is you are not able to distinguish. Your eyes see, everything shines. Anything which shines, the light, your eyes see. So for you, what now? Light shines. Every opium habit also shines. But you are not able to distinguish what is that because of which the opaque objects shine, you are not able to understand. But one thing you know, there is something which is different from these opaque objects because of the presence of which these shine. So, one day the teacher has to teach you. It's an object, okay? Not easy, difficult. But still, simply, example, we just use this method. Prakashitat, aprakashitat, I don't use the word light, okay? Because I can't show. This is about the light. Look at this, this is about the light. If I show the light like this, what will you do? Are you all listening? Hope you're all not sleeping. Okay. So, anyade, because if I show like this, that's not something tangible for me to show. What is light? This is what the light is. If I show, it is something not tangible, isn't it? So you can't directly know. So what I have to say now, I have to help you arrive at something intangible. Prakashitat, aprakashitat, anyadeva, tad. That light which you want to know is what distinct. No, prakashitat, aprakashitat, vilakshanam. Distinct from the illumined and the unillumined. Therefore, illumined and the unillumined come under the category of illuminable. Illumined and the unillumined come under the category of illuminable. Why? Because before being illumined, it is unillumined. After being illumined, it is illumined. Therefore, illuminable comes under the category of what? Illumined and the unillumined. Now we can say here what now? Illuminable, isn't it? Illuminable. and the illumined and the unillumined is equal to what now? Illuminable. Anything illuminable, yes, it comes under the category of opaque. Anything illuminable comes under the category. Anything illuminable is what now? Opaque in nature. Anything other than illuminable is what? Unilluminable. Anything comes under the category of unilluminable is what? Other than the illumined. Other than the illumined is light. There are unilluminable, what now? Anything other than the illumined is what now? Light. Hope you got it. Hope I'm not confused, you know. And here what we say, what about the illumination? What about the illuminator? We use all these words. And from the standpoint of the illumined, we say what now? The opaque shines. There is illumination. That illumination is what? Swarupam. Of every illumined object. And that illumination and the illuminator, are they two different things? No. And the illuminator and the illumination, are there illumination and the illuminator other than the light? No. You have resolved what? Illuminator is light. Illumination is light. And the illumined not having independent existence outside of the light cannot be counted as a parallel reality. It should be reduced to mithya. Therefore, how many satyams are there? Only satyam of light. I got it? Therefore, we say that light, is it? Here light is also object. Now we come to this point here. Viditat, aviditat, ati means the whole jagat can be reduced to viditam and aviditam, known and the unknown. Whole universe can be reduced to viditam and aviditam. Knowable. Before knowledge, unknown. After knowledge, known. Therefore, known and unknown is equal to what? Knowable. Anything known, unknown is equal to object of knowledge. Therefore, knowable is equal to object of knowledge. Anything other than knowable is unknowable. Therefore, anything other than the object is subject. Anything other than knowable is other than object. Anything other than knowable is anything other than object, which is subject. Subject is the knower. Okay? The knower is pure knowledge. Consciousness, and you are the knower. If you are the knower, is consciousness the knowledge? For you are that consciousness, knowledge. Tat tvam asi. Is it clear? Viditat. Aviditat anyad eva tad atha. Question, first mantra. Second mantra, answer is consciousness. Third mantra, that consciousness is not an object of knowledge. If it is not an object of knowledge, then what is that? A subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is you. and you are consciousness is the fourth mantra. You see in the development, number 1, 2, 3, 4. We had to bring this. We can go now step by step only with Shankara.
So from the, what is this kapha over
here? I haven't come to that.
Oh,
I'm still talking. I haven't come. I only want to teach only this much today. Anyat yeva tad viditat aviditat. That's all. Ataha adhya have to talk. When we go to the Bhashya, we'll see that. Then, I'm going to see every word. Okay, wait. I have left Ataha and Adi, okay? Now he says, the teacher says, okay, this definition, it's an ingenious definition. Isn't it? Mahavakyam. Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is given differently here. And this is the source for even the very prakriya, drik drishi veka prakriya. Okay. And the teacher doesn't say, you know, this is how I teach. The teacher doesn't say. What does he say? With all politeness, with all gratitude, he just reveals, he owes his understanding of this fact to what? To the sampradaya, to the great guru parampara. Yes, iti sushrumaha. This is how we hear from our teachers. This is how our teachers, we hear our teachers defining that conscious principle. This is how we hear our teachers defining this conscious principle. I am giving this my discovery, okay? She doesn't say that. Sushruma, Sushruma, we hear what? We hear our teachers defining this Atma Swarupam, defining consciousness, Swarupam of everything. How do you know? Purvesham, Purvesham, Purvesham means of our teachers. Purvesham means of those who existed before us, playing the role of teachers. Purvesham Jananam, Purvesham Acharyanam, are those teachers who existed before us, from whom we heard them defining this Swarupam in this way. Purvesham Sushruma. And who are those people? Ye Naha, those teachers, ye, those, Naha, for us, tad, that reality, the consciousness, vyacha chakshire, defined. Ye, naha, ye, those teachers, naha, for us, vyacha chakshire, expounded, explained, or unfolded, or revealed, or defined that consciousness. The Atma. Okay, the teacher says what now? He just owes this in the methodology to the sampradaya, parampara, guru parampara. What's the methodology here? Drip, drishya, viveka, prakriya. The method of analyzing the difference between subject and the object. We have heard our teachers who had taught this, who had unfolded this, who had defined that Atma Swarupam to us before. No? We heard these teachers defining Atma Swarupam in this way. In this way means what? In this way means in an indirect way. Why? This is not taught, it's something subtlest. Subtlest. Even the gross object, intangible, but still it is so perceptible light, isn't it? And difficult. Imagine the very pure knowledge, pure consciousness. It is that consciousness because of the presence of which the entire sukshma, what now, shines, functions, becomes sentient and conscious. Now you have to say, swarupam of every illumined opaque object is the light. Okay? The swarupam of every inert material object is consciousness. But how do you recognize that, arrive at that consciousness? Only as the swarupam of the knower I. Understand? Swarupam of the each and I seeing power is what? Consciousness. Swarupam of hearing power is what? Consciousness. Swarupam of power of the mind, any power is what? Consciousness. Swarupam of the mind is what? Consciousness. Swarupam of the physical, every cell is what? Consciousness. Swarupam of every DNA gene is what? Consciousness. Swarupam of every object externally outside is also what? Consciousness. But you cannot arrive at. Where can you? How? It's not available for recognition there. Only through this indirect method you have to arrive at consciousness. It is available for recognition only as the very self, as the content of I, as the knower, truth of the knower. Truth of the illuminator is the light. How do you say? Existence of the light is the existence of the illuminator. There is no real illuminator sitting here. But you understand the term illuminator from the standpoint of the illumination. You understand illumination as very swarupam, isn't it? And from the standpoint of the illumined. And there are to resolve everything in the light. Similarly here, it is available for recognition only as the self, as the truth of the knower. Truth of the knower, truth of the wave is water. When you say there is no wave other than the water, there is no illuminator other than the light, it is called resolving the knower in the unconsciousness. Okay, therefore no illuminator is consciousness, illumination is consciousness. An illumined being independently non-existent. Independently non-existent. Dependently only existent. It is also not outside of the light. Therefore it is mithyatvena. Is also what? Illumined also is light. Mithya is satyam. Isn't it? Illumined also is what now? Light. Is it clear now? This is called Triputi. Illuminator, illumination and the illumined. Three together is called what now? Triputi. Now it comes to knower, knowledge and the known. Jnatru, jnana, jneya. Pramatru, pramana, prameya. All the three are what? One. Resolving three in one. In Taittiriya we will do this very well in Sunday class, not now, when we go to Brahmananda Valley. But now you understand now? All the three are one. Knower, knowledge, known. Triputi Bheda. All the three differences resolve in one light. This is light of consciousness. And here, we have the Bhashyam here now. Atyantameva Upadesha Prakara Pratyakhyane Prapte Tad Apavadaha Ayam Uchyate. Therefore, there are pramanas. Shankara is going to introduce now. Pramanas. Five, we have different means of knowledge. All these different means of knowledge are called what now? Paurusheya. To go here, I have to tell all these things. Paurusheya pramanani. Pramanam means a means of knowledge. I told you earlier when I did Mundaka also, I think, I can tell you again. It has come from the root ma. Ma means to measure. And verb is mati. Mati means measures. When I measure the scale, I measure what is the length of it, what is the height of it. Like that, I can measure the scale with the tape. And prakarshena mati means measures through thick and thin, thoroughly, completely, means what now? Knowing. So prama means knowledge, accurate knowledge. Accurate measuring is called prama. Prama means knowledge. And that by which something is accurately known, arrived at, understood, measured, is called pramanam. Prama is knowledge. Valid knowledge is prama. And that by which, through which, by which something is understood completely, properly, is called pramanam. Pramanam. Prakarshena miyate anena iti pramanam. Pramanam. And one, because of whose presence this knowledge takes place, isn't it? Or the one who knows. Initially we say one who knows. Now I can say the knowledge is possible. Is what now? Pramata. Pramata. The knower, pramatri shabdaha, rikarantaha pullingaha pramatri shabdaha, pramata the knower, pramanam means of knowledge, prama knowledge, prameyam object of knowledge. That which is known is prameyam. Knowledge is prama. That by which something is known is pramanam. And the one who, because of whose presence knowledge is possible, isn't it? The one who knows is pramata. And for this pramata, for the pramanam, for knowledge, any with every individual can be said to be at pramata. Generally, isn't it? In a literal sense. So, the knowledge of any object takes place means, and is prama, is dependent on, prama is dependent on means of knowledge, a given means of knowledge. Knowledge of given object is dependent on given means of knowledge. Isn't it? And we have many other means of knowledge. We have pratyaksha pramanam, perception. Pratyaksha pramanam. Then anumana pramanam or anumiti pramanam, inference. Then upamanam, upamana pramanam, comparison. Then arthapattihi, presumption. Anupalabdhihi, absence. Then shabda pramanam, words. And we generally we say all the pramanams are basically what now? Paurusheya pramanani. Paurusheya are laukika. Paurusheya pramanani means what now? These pramanas are actually, they are, the Paurusheya pramanani means, and we talk about the Veda, Vedanta Shastram is not, Paurusheya pramanani means what now? The knowledge, I mean, the one can gain the knowledge using these means of knowledge, using one's intellect, then isn't crushing one's intellect, exercising one's intellect, even one object can be arrived at, isn't it? Through any of these pramanams, then we can say Paurusheya pramanani. This Veda is not a Paurusheya pramanam at all. This apaurusheya pramanam. Because it is not. Why apaurusheya pramanam? We'll talk about later on. Paurusheya pramanani, all these means of knowledge. See, whether it is perception or inference or illustration or presumption or absence or even word, all these pramanams can only reveal objects which are available for sense perception or thought perception. Objectifiable through the mind or the senses. This apaurusheyam, when you say it is not, the pramanam is not a product of human intellect. It's something very subtle and profound. When we say it is not a product of human intellect, what do we mean? What do we say? Because human intellect itself is material product. And human intellect has to function, isn't it? The functioning of human intellect itself is dependent on something else. So this, isn't it? Human intellect, which is material in nature, the functioning of which is dependent on something else. It cannot function by itself. And how can this intellect, which functions depending on the reality, reveal or talk about the reality? Is it? Can arrive at the reality? That is why we say Veda Shastram, you understand this much today. How Veda is Pramanam, we'll talk about it next class. Because the whole Bhashyam, I had to tell you this before, to do the whole Bhashyam. I've given the meaning, how the first sentence is a Mahavakyam, I have explained to you. But I had to do this. The mantra is not complete, isn't it? I've only given the subtle meaning. But how Veda is a timeless Shastram, how it is apaurusheya pramanam, it's not a human product of human intellect, that we'll see next class. Because it's quite a big thing. So here, these are all paurusheya pramanani. That is why perception, inference, illustration, you know, or example, upamanam, presumption, etc., become not useful with reference to atmajnanam. And here the shastram is the pramanam, which is a shabda pramanam, isn't it? Shabda is the pramanam. But Shabda Pramana means what now? A word becomes the means of knowledge. When you say word becomes the means of knowledge, you will think what? Brahman, Atma, they're all words. They should reveal consciousness. They're all words. Mike. Object is revealed. Specs. Object is revealed. Computer. Revealed. A word, immediately it helps you arrive at it. Suppose we do not understand. Radiator. And you can explain. It's explainable, isn't it? Explicable this is. Because it has jati, guna, kriya, it has certain features. Describable, distinctive, describable features are there. Therefore, even if you are a very dull-witted person, and you can use all buddhi to describe all the features, how you can help me arrive at it? But it has, it's available. The object has, the object to be, which is to be understood, enjoys certain features. Therefore, the words can play a miracle. How? All the features can be described, explained, and then you can help me arrive at the object. The Shabda Pramana means what now? Shabda also what now? Can do. But here we say, this all the six pramanams are, Shabda Pramanam also, what now? Pramanams are not useful. Do not say useless, okay? Not useful with reference to self-knowledge. They are incapable of revealing. But what about the Veda? Veda also Shabda Pramanam. Veda, what does the Veda do? Veda also uses only the words. Viditat, aviditat, anyati eva ati. Tattvam asi. They are all words. They are all words only. That is why those words do not directly reveal, they indirectly, what now? Define this swarupam. Shastra's words, okay, Shastra's words are said to be the pramanam. Not any other word, but Shastra's words do not directly indicate, reveal the Swarupam. Because word cannot directly reveal the Swarupam. They only reveal the indirect definition of the Swarupam. Like what? Anyati eva is what today's lesson. Okay, indirect, I wanted to come to the indirect. This is what Atma is. Hey, you are Atma. Even if you say you are Atma, if they suppose the Upanishad, instead of giving this indirect answer, it gave you are that on, like Tattvamasi also, that this depends on teacher's explanation, isn't it? That's why you go there afterwards, not immediately. You go from Kena to there. You start with Mundaka, Kata, then Kena, then go last. Chandrakim is not immediately. Even Taittim is not be done immediately. There's a step, isn't it? Which should I study first? So here, Anyati Eva, instead of directly telling Anyateva, that is different from the known and the unknown. And that means, and then you have to come to these steps. You understand it. What is that? Viditam, aviditam, what now? Vedyam. Vedyam means knowable. Vedyam is a potential passive participle. Viditam, known, and the unknown are knowable. And anything knowable is an object. Anything other than the knowable is anything other than the object. Anything other than the object is subject. Therefore, what now? Viditata aviditata anyata is subject of knowledge, and subject of knowledge is knower, and you are the knower is that consciousness, and you are the knower, therefore you are consciousness. Okay, this is only one step has been done now. Still, you cannot got the Advaita Drishti would not have come. Advaita Drishti, you get a glimpse of it, but you wouldn't have had, you can't say, oh, I just see only that. You can't say that now. But it will come. Now, in my class, when I'm doing this class, where are you? Aren't you trying to be with what is said? That's what I told. Class itself will become contemplation. The whole jagat can be resolved. Your whole attention is held in the class, you will not see anything other than he. You'll see that, you'll see everything, like how you, when you are seeing the light, you see other things, you see. But still your focus is where, you can see that. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadah.